North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. It's Friday, May 23rd, 2025. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Chris Bessler again. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and welcome back to the city of Sandpoint.
Yeah, I was off on travels for the last week.
Well, nice to have you back. I'm sad you missed Lost in the 50s, but
I did miss it. Totally missed it, but I haven't done that for a few years, so... A missing piece of my life, I guess.
We're also joined in the studio by Chloe Cochran, who is a staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Chloe.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, of course.
And we're here to break down a week in news. Probably the big week, the big news of the week was the election and the election results. I'll give those right now. Local election results include the West Bonner County School District, a rather closely watched supplemental levy measure. It did pass. The amount was $2,353,440.60 per year. That levy will be in effect for 2 years. 2,101 people voted in favor, with 1,751 voting against. That's approximately a margin of 54.5% to 45.5%. So West Bonner County does secure its funding for at least the next 2 years after failing to pass a levy in November. The city of Ponderay passed their local option tax by a wide margin, albeit with a pretty low turnout. 90 votes to 24 was the margin on the local option tax. The tax is a 10% tax on short-term rentals, not a property tax, but on, I believe, on the...
hotel beds.
Basically. Yeah, a bed tax, yeah. The Spirit Lake Fire District, we're trying to determine, I guess, but I believe that they passed their supplemental levy, a two-year... $477,000 levy. However, all other fire districts that had levies on the ballot, and that includes the Northside Fire District, the Sagal Fire Protection District, and
Westside,
and all of those fire districts failed to pass their levies. That did not go through. The West Bonner County Cemetery Maintenance District levy did pass. They're authorized a permanent levy in the amount of $74,215.33 a year, commencing in fiscal year.
Are you sure that one passed?
I have it at 60.23%.
Yeah, I think it required a supermajority, though,
a two-thirds majority.
So I think that one did not pass.
Oh.
It received 60% in favor, but it needed 66%.
Okay. Well, there you go. I guess your mileage may vary on the cemetery levy. But in that case, of the, I think there were 8 levies on the ballot in Bonner County. The ones that passed were the City of Ponderay Local Option Tax, the West Bonner County School District, and the Spirit Lake Fire District, and all others failed to clear the bar.
Worth mentioning also that is that the Boundary County School District approved a $1.2 million per year levy. It was 68.6% in support. That's another district that's really had trouble passing levies. So kind of a watershed year for West Bonner County and Boundary County.
Yeah.
Both get their levies passed.
Here in the other county news, let's see, the current lake level, 2,058 feet above sea level as of this morning, as measured at Hope. The normal pool is 2,062.5, meaning we're, just about 4.5 feet shy of that full summer pool here, and it continues to climb. In the county, the moratorium on minor land divisions is now in effect as of Monday, the 19th. The county hosted a planning workshop on Tuesday to discuss the options and plans for moving forward with minor land divisions and kind of trying to circumvent a double circumvention. They are trying to circumvent other people circumventing the Planning and Zoning Commission by dividing their land, making minor land divisions that in effect create a subdivision without the proper infrastructure. They hosted a planning workshop on Tuesday to discuss how they plan to, how the planning department at least will propose to deal with that. That minor land division moratorium is in effect until October, although I believe we expect the Bonner County Board of Commissioners to move on a permanent solution before then. The Bonner County Sheriff has been approved for purchase of a drone. I think it's about $17,000 drone to aid in search and rescue efforts. Mm-hmm. That was approved at this past Tuesday's meeting of the Bonner County Board of Commissioners. And the ambulance district, which happens to be the Board of Commissioners, makes up the board of the ambulance district as well. But their meeting as the ambulance district was on Wednesday, and a full meeting on Wednesday, weighing their options on their structure going forward at Wednesday's meeting. And that includes the possibility, this is just a discussion point and only a possibility, of dissolving the ambulance district. And we'll talk to Chloe about what that would mean in just a minute here. Here in the city of Sandpoint, of course, it was lost in the 50s, and everybody had their 50s business going on, but the city's business did not stop, and on Tuesday, the Planning and Zoning Commission met to, as it turns out, approve the Church Street multifamily development that's in between 4th and 5th on Church Street, I think it's a four-story building, and it's actually two four-story buildings, not to be built simultaneously, but in two phases. The Planning and Zoning Committee approved it on a 5-2 vote. They did put some conditions on that, improvements to the alley, and I believe a loading and unloading zone. The developments has a lot of the criticism of the development has focused on the lack of parking for the between 80 and 90 units. There are only 3 parking spaces that are planned, and people, that has drawn some, at least some questions, some pointed questions, I believe, around that. But it has now gone through with those couple of stipulations, improvements to the alley, and then to the making a loading and unloading zone part of the structure. Those are the big news items that I have. Of course, plenty going on, around the state, around the country, and elsewhere. But that's what I have for local news heading into Memorial Day weekend. Did I miss any major ones, folks?
I don't think so.
You hit the ones that I had on my list,
yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Well, thank you. Well, Chloe, your big, probably the biggest word count you had this week was in that article on the ambulance district.
Yeah, ambulance district.
I think you've been paying it close attention to this. So let's get our listeners up to speed here.
Yeah. So go ahead.
No, I guess you would you like to? I guess would you like to set the stage a little bit? Tell us the ambulance district, especially for like the last 6 months or so, has been. It's been under some scrutiny, I think financial scrutiny especially. There was a bit of a crisis, a funding crisis towards the end of last year, I think early November, late October. And since then, there's been, I guess, discussion, and we've all been learning a little bit about the ambulance district.
Yeah. So, as you said, in November, they kind of had some financial issues. I just say mishandlement of funds because everyone can point fingers at everyone. Like, it's kind of hard to say how it happened, but nonetheless, they ran out of funds. So in trying to figure that out, the county commissioners realized that the district had been ran like a county department, not like its own taxing district. So since realizing that, they've kind of been putting their focus on separating the district from the county. So getting their own insurance, not going through the county for that. Getting their own bookkeeper, legal representation, just those things. And when they started separating themselves, they decided like, okay, well, does it make sense to quote unquote dissolve the district? And what that means is, I mean, exactly what I said, you dissolve it and then form a new one. And that would include having a different board instead of the county commissioners. So this was discussed a couple months ago. In the meantime, they've made headway to distinguish themselves further. They have all their own different resources, like I mentioned before. But in the meantime, they're like, okay, well, let's have this meeting to kind of go over what it would look like to dissolve the board. So it's not their intention to do that. They are way ahead in their finances than they were projected to be. So that's great. They're also down 6 positions as the start of the year. So that helps financially as well. But so that meeting was just to kind of see, okay, what if we did this? And that would essentially mean they have to get, or they would have to redraw the boundary lines for the ambulance district. And then within that new boundary, I think it could even be like a couple feet, whatever, as long as there's different boundaries. And then they would have to get essentially 50 people to say, okay, I approve of this. Well, now then they would have to get all the cities within that boundary to say, okay, we're on board with this. It would have to be published in the newspaper. It would have to be approved by county commissioners and then voted on by the public. So it's this huge, long process to do something that, I'm going to say this, it's my opinion only, but they're already making a lot of headway. It doesn't necessarily make sense to dissolve. And I think that's the way that the board is going. So that's kind of the rundown of everything.
Unlikely to dissolve.
Unlikely.
I remember being kind of surprised, actually. I think I assumed that because it's called the Bonner County Ambulance. And I actually assumed it was a county department until the hubbub in like late October. And the board, it's the same board, but they are technically not the same entity.
So there's kind of concerns of like, okay, well, the board is the same for the county as it is for the district. So what if there's a conflict of interest? And that is a great concern to raise, but so far there hasn't been that conflict yet. So it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that makes sense to me as sort of the argument in favor of dissolving or reforming it. Because there's no way, as far as I'm aware, they can't keep the ambulance district but change that governing body. It has to stay the county commissioners.
Yes.
And those are the county commissioners, of course, aren't necessarily, you know, going to be experts in what, you know, in the needs and requirements of a of an emergency services department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, they've already put in a lot of work to help the district, and the argument for dissolving it would be so that the commissioners can put their focus towards other duties, which it makes 100% that makes sense. However, they're so in deep with the district now to pass it over to someone else. I feel like it could be hard to kind of step away from that. But I don't know. I guess we'll see in the next coming weeks.
Let's see.
Tell us a little bit more about, I don't want to switch the subject if you want to explore that some more.
No, go ahead.
The drone.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting thing. It seems like it would definitely be helpful for search and rescue is one of the stated reasons to get it.
And one of the reasons for that drone specifically, there is kind of some controversy to it, and I can get into that in a second. But the main reason for that specific drone is, even though it's $17,000, it's a lot cheaper than some of the other ones. And it does...
A lot cheaper, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They come in all... You know, all grades.
I mean, you can get a handheld one for yourself.
Or, yeah, a few hundred bucks.
Yeah. But this one has like the thermal technology so that you can find someone in thick density woods or in the snow. But then it can also be used for crime investigations. If someone's hiding out in a tarp and the police can't see them, well, now they have that drone. They can look over and see, oh, he's hiding here. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what it's for. And then as far as the controversy, the company that manufactures the drone, so they manufacture drones in two places, in China and California. So the ones managed in China allegedly have ties to the CCO, China. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's actually some bills in effect for the U.S. saying, like, do not purchase those drones with federal money, all of that stuff. However, the drone that the Sheriff's Department will be purchasing is one from California, and they specifically manufacture those ones in California so that entities like Sheriff's Department, search and rescue, stuff like that, they can purchase those without the fear of being quote-unquote spied on.
I mean, it would be possible for China to add some software that would send information to bad actors. Yeah.
So at least this way, there's some comfortability for the district, knowing that it's coming from California.
The fact that they were purchasing the drone from an American company, didn't that quell the controversy?
I don't know the specifics because it sounds like it's the same company, but a different almost branch.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of
it's just manufactured in the U.S., but not necessarily by an American company.
I believe so.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I that's, in your piece here, I guess it looks like Spencer Hutchings, county resident Spencer Hutchings, kind of stepped up to say that this particular drone is assembled in California. DJI, the company that makes the drone, makes them in the United States, just kind of for this purpose.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
Daryl Wheeler mentioned kind of that increase in people, particularly like people with Alzheimer's, who if you get Amber Alerts on your phone, and I think everybody does, every once in a while you get, it's always surprising when it's not a lost child, but it's, you know, missing 76-year-old man in, you know, blue sweater or whatever.
Even like Nixle, I get all the time, this person's missing, or Facebook, there's always people saying like, hey, my uncle who has a bad memory, like, we didn't realize he took his keys, you know, like, there's all these different scenarios. And so to take a drone, I've never operated a drone, so I can't speak from experience, but I would imagine that would be a lot easier to kind of scope out public area, not private, but public area, to find those people.
Yeah, if somebody's lost in the woods or wandering the highway or something, that's an easier way of doing it. Now, I see that there was lots of, I guess it seems like the main opposition from your piece, and County Commissioner Ron Korn voted against it, but it did pass 2-1. But their main opposition was about the Chinese communist connection of the company.
Yeah.
Was anybody, you know, just concerned about good old American surveillance efforts? did that come up, that there was a concern that the sheriff would be using these inappropriately?
And it did very briefly. I'm actually shocked that it didn't come up more. So that did come up very briefly, and I can't remember who said it in the meeting. I think it was Bill Wilson. But he just said, like, well, there's a lot of laws in place to where you can't fly a drone over public property.
Private.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Private property. So that kind of solves that question pretty quickly. They can't do that unless they have a warrant given permission. So,
or unless they don't know where the property line is.
Yeah. But they have apps for that, and I would imagine the sheriff's department has that figured out.
Apps and maps, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's passed, and now we will see. It's just one drone, right?
Just one, I believe. Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be. So we may now see from time to time a Bonner County Sheriff drone flying overhead whenever that purchase is actually made. But it's approved now. Okay. Now, let's see. The other, I guess, headlines that I mentioned include that Church Street multifamily development. That's outside of your kind of area of expertise, though, Chloe.
Yeah, it is.
Not your beat.
No.
Not my beat.
It is right down the street from your offices, Chris.
It is, yes. But I was out of town. I couldn't participate in it. Both the Bee and the Reader had stories on it.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, it did pass with a 5-2 vote. Two of the planning commissioners voted against it. And the objections, of course, were mainly centered on parking.
On parking.
I will say, as somebody that owns a building two doors down, that they're going to put, I'm sure, in excess of 100 cars on the street with no place to park, and that I walked along and counted the parking spaces on Church Street. There's 19 all up and down that block of church. So I can pretty much anticipate Church Street will probably be totally parked up, which means that businesses on Church Street who kind of rely on that street parking for their customers are probably going to not have it very well available. I suppose they could... they could help with some, and they're working on the parking master plan.
Yeah.
They could help with limiting the amount of time people can park on the street along that block.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm thinking now in front of like the Cedar Street Bridge, because this is where I do most of my parking is right down in the corner of, or where I attempt to do some of my parking is the corner of First and Cedar. Right down in front of the Cedar Street Bridge, there's sort of an unload load zone. 20-minute parking, and I think that's the same for a couple other buildings on First Avenue where you can park if you're doing business, you know, brief business in the building, but you can't stay there all day. I imagine you, considering that it's scattered around, that's something where you, just as a property owner, probably just talk to the city and ask for that to happen. I'm speculating now. I don't know for sure, but ask them to change the spot in front of your business or residence to a different category of parking or change one.
I would assume as they develop the master plan, with this being new on the table, this proposal, that they might take a look at what kind of, how long term they're going to allow that parking to be. Daily B is just a block down from that, so you could expect that the Daily B would be impacted with 100 cars looking for a place to park.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. I mean, fortunately, we have our own little private lot, but
across the street.
But people still park in there.
Well, your customers don't necessarily know to park in that private lot. And I don't even know if it's it's signed for
no
public parking. Yeah.
Yeah. So as far, yeah, it'll just be interesting. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Our office, we provide off-street parking for our employees.
But, and that's what we do. Yeah.
But, you know, our front door opens up on Church Street, so customers park there. Yeah. They don't go back around behind the alley to park.
There's that big, it's just called the Sandpoint Center now, but the
big bank,
the building. Bank building has a big lot with plenty of parking in it. And that's rarely full, but it is private parking, I believe. I don't think they've ever really had to.
That parking lot right by the bank building itself is frequently full now.
Oh.
Because there's more activity in the bank. There's more renters.
There's more
in
businesses
the bank.
Going on upstairs.
Now, the lot that's across Fifth Avenue, I believe that's owned by the bank building. They were required to provide parking back in the days when that was a requirement in the downtown. And so they had to purchase that parking lot that's right across Fifth at the corner of Fifth and Pine. And that is frequently not filled now, but I have noticed that it does have more cars in it.
Yeah.
Now.
So it's not empty.
I mean, it's possible that, you know, that landowner could convert that to paid parking and he'd have a built in clientele from the, the hotel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say hotel. the residential units.
Yeah.
Hotel slipped into that because that one point that came up during the discussion, it was reported on by the reader in the Bee, was that the units are so small, they're really not any bigger than hotel rooms.
Yeah.
A lot of them are studio apartments that are just a single room with a bathroom. And there's no restriction that would keep them from turning that into short-term housing, like an Airbnb type of a situation, right? So it could essentially turn into a hotel.
Yeah. Right. What restrictions there are on short-term housing seem to be pretty unenforced in the city as of now. I think you do have to apply if you want to have an Airbnb, technically, but it's widely observed that I think those are not always, people don't always make that application. When they have an Airbnb, what was I just going to say on that subject? Comment on the multifamily nature. It's called a multifamily development, but these are they're small. You don't imagine many families larger than about two people living in them, maybe three.
There's some one bedroom units, and then there's these studios. Aren't even, I mean, the only room you have is a bedroom, probably with a spot for a couch or something. But
they're small units. I think where's my paper? I think when the developer kind of made their statement that this is targeted at like workforce housing.
And the supporters that came did say, hey, we need workforce housing. I think everybody's probably on the same page with that. It's just the parking situation is untenable. And as I think as you mentioned earlier, no parking requirements exemption for the downtown is going to be examined as part of doing this, as a possible change of the city code, so that more of these residential units don't, load us up with 100 cars in the downtown with no requirement for parking.
Yeah. Well, here we are again. It's 8:30. Chloe, tell us what's the news next week? Give us a little preview. What do you expect is going to happen next week? Look in your crystal ball.
Not really a whole lot, actually. I mean, county commissioners are focused on budget hearings. So they're going through each department and a district, I guess, and looking through the budgets. They're going a lot more in depth. So their meetings are more like an hour and a half instead of 20 minutes, which is always good to get in depth and kind of cut where they can. So that's a big thing. And then I think my focus next week is mostly just court stuff. So things people don't want to hear.
That's right. Yes. We forgot to mention you're not just the county reporter, you're the courts reporter too. And Those are, yes, always interesting to read about. Not always fun to talk about.
Or write about.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Of course, Monday is Memorial Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as reported in the Daily Bee today, there are going to be Memorial Day services at Pinecrest Cemetery at 9 a.m. There's going to be something at Lakeview Cemetery as well at 11 a.m. And then the Sandpoint VFW is hosting a Memorial Day lunch at noon at their VFW post at Pine and Division. So if folks would like to observe Memorial Day, those are some things happening here in town.
I will mention, as is my duty, that next week, right after Memorial Day, starting on Tuesday at 8 a.m., we are launching our annual fun drive. This also made a little article in the paper, too, I think, or at least I saw it in the Reader, and I think it's upcoming in the Bee. We will kick off our on-air membership drive on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. The bulk of our special programming is going to be in the evening. We have musicians coming in every night, multiple different acts coming in from 6 to 9 p.m., and operators will be standing by to take your calls. Tune in and join us next week, Tuesday through Thursday, and then on Friday, come on down to the Idaho Poor Authority for our big tap takeover event with Utara, and have a beer for a good cause, your local nonprofit community radio station.
Yes, KR4. We definitely do require a donation to stay on the air. We're completely funded by donors and underwriters. And I'll mention our morning shows next week. We're going to be talking with folks that are involved or supporters or underwriters of the station and asking them the key questions. Why do you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it should be a fun group of people too. A lot of old favorites from the KRFY crew. Okay, time now for a little music. And thank you very much, Chloe, for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Breaking down the ambulance district and other county news. Here we go with Otto's Eclectic Mix, starting off with Dire Straits.